Morning before we have our sermon, please turn to Isaiah chapter 29 in the Old Testament, and I'll read from verses 9 to 19, and after that I'm going to read from Mark chapter 7. Isaiah 29 from verse 9. Be stunned and amazed. Blind yourselves and be sightless. Be drunk, but not from wine. Stagger, but not from beer. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, "Read this, please," he will answer, "I can't. It is sealed." Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, "Read this, please," he will answer, "I don't know how to read." The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say of the potter, 'He knows nothing'? In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." And now we turn to Mark chapter 7 in the New Testament. And I'll read from verses 1 to 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can read your word, and we thank you that we can understand it, and we pray for a greater understanding by your Holy Spirit. As Fred comes to preach to us now, we pray that you will guide him to speak the truth, to speak your word. We pray that you'll help him to speak clearly so that we can understand, so that we can repent and have faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Fred.
There are people who do come to church and hear the preaching of the gospel, but they keep on struggling with questions of doubt. They wonder, is it really true what the Bible says? Is there a heaven? Will I one day enjoy eternal life? What if it all is only wishful thinking? Then all my efforts to please God during my life are a waste of energy. Such thoughts can be a pain, can't they? For they leave you with very little comfort, especially when life becomes tough. Then the questions become all the more acute. But I can think of a situation which is actually worse than that. You know a lot about God, for you know His Word, and you seriously try to keep all God's laws, and you assume you do very well with God, and you're one of His. But when you arrive at the gate of heaven, you are told, "Go away from me. I have never known you. You have never given your heart to me." Say it were you, who would hear that? All your life you imagined you were on your way to heaven. But upon arrival you find out you've missed it. Your religious efforts, no matter how seriously pursued, were not motivated by true love for God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You pursued no more than a self-willed religion, following rules taught by man, which is merely a form of idolatry, idol worship, which is worship in vain. I believe that the latter situation is worse than struggling with questions of doubt. See, if you have your doubts about God and His Word and about your salvation, you may continue your search until you find the truth, until you receive that assurance of salvation which God promises to all His children. But if you think, or you're led to believe, that you have already found it, you stop seeking for it. You do not allow anyone to challenge your religious convictions. You stick to what you've come to believe, no matter what. That was the situation Jesus found among His own people, the people of Israel. Their religion had made them completely blind for what Jesus did and deaf for what Jesus tried to tell them. And today, it's really no different. It's still a frightening possibility to worship God in vain. So our theme is worshiping God in vain. In the verses we read from Mark 7, people come to the Lord Jesus with a question. Now, asking questions is free, of course. And it sounds like a reasonable question. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? But as we follow the story, Jesus' reaction to this question is very vehement. "Woe to you, you hypocrites," He reacts. "Isaiah was right about you when he prophesied, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" Now, why so incredibly sharp? They were only asking a question. Now, let's have a closer look at the situation. Mark tells us that some Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Possibly, the local Pharisees have requested this visitation from Jerusalem. See, in Galilee, the teachers of the law that were there had not been able to refute the words of Jesus. People from all over the land flocked after Jesus and were taking in His teaching. And for the local religious leaders, this was a major worry, of course. So what can we do? How can we stop this man? In the end, everyone will follow him. That was their fear. And the main concern was that Jesus did not seem to worry about Jewish religious practices. And it was easy enough to pick on something. And what Jesus' disciples did wasn't only different from what they in general were used to in Israel. What they did was absolutely wrong. You have to ceremonially wash your hands before you eat anything. Because you never know what you have touched. Jews were very serious on that point, as most people are who live by law and not by grace. They are serious with all kinds of things. because they believe. Somehow it will make them acceptable to God. So the Jews were very serious about, don't eat anything before you've ceremonially washed your hands. If, for instance, during a walk outside, accidentally an insect flies into your mouth, make sure that you don't swallow it. Spit it out. Because it's a sin to eat anything without first washing your hands and saying a prayer. That's how they lived. So that's the question that I have. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? And just eat their food without washing their hands. Now friends, if you think that these people who asked the question were concerned about the disciples' well-being, physically or spiritually, you have the wrong. Because they were not concerned about that at all. They have another purpose. They aim at Jesus. Because he must have been teaching them these things. Because no Jew would do that by himself. So Jesus is the one they want to tackle. He's the one they are after. So they don't have a genuine question at all. They only are trying to collect material for an accusation. They want to be able to prove to the crowd, you're following a dangerous man. We and you should have a concern for the law of God, and we should not treat his law so slackly. Now, the tradition of the elders, as they call it, is the practice of eating kosher food. See, they believe that the most important part of religion is that you take care of what you eat. For your body might become impure by the wrong food. So don't defile your body. That's why you have to wash your hands before you take anything in your mouth. It has nothing to do with dirty hands. Of course you wash your hands before you touch food. That's good hygienic practice. But that's not at stake here. This is about a religious practice. And the Pharisees are convinced we will be able to stop Jesus' influence on people if we just point out his wrongs. And it had been rather easy to find something. We have to point out this point to the people that this man, Jesus, doesn't care at all about God's law. And that will finish him off. Problem solved. That's their thinking. Now just think for a moment whom Jesus is. The whole gospel of Mark was written to prove a point. And you can find it in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And it's this. Jesus is the Son of God. And if you look at it from that perspective, can you see how hilarious this whole accusation is? Ludicrous. If it were not so sad. You know, here comes the Son of God, sent from heaven. He has come to seek God's people and to proclaim them God's grace and mercy, to grant them forgiveness of their sins, to bring people into the freedom of the kingdom of heaven. And his coming, his appearance is accompanied by the most amazing manifestations of the Spirit of God. Incredible things are happening under the eyes of the people. Mind you, just before this, Mark mentions that all the sick Jesus touched were healed. And before that, he fed some 5,000 people. Miraculous bread was provided for all of them. And all these miracles had only one purpose, to draw attention to the message Jesus brought. The kingdom of heaven is near. Your sins are forgiven. Repent and believe. Enter into this kingdom and rejoice. Because God has shown his love to his people once again by bringing the kingdom so close that you can actually see it. It's happening under your very eyes. How can people be so blind to not say it? Because in response to all these glorious things happening, the leading Jews can only come up with, why don't your disciples wash your hands before they eat? What a pitiful reaction. And what a foolish question to ask. It is just as out of place as when after a moving worship service, where we heard a great testimony about the Lord's work in someone's life. Someone has found the Lord in a very real way and has given a testimony to the church about that. And then after the service, someone comes up to me and said, well, I didn't like the dress that woman was wearing. I don't think it was quite appropriate for a worship service. I mean, people who say things like that at such a moment have no clue that they have completely missed the occasion. See, that's how blind people can be. They take miracles for granted. Even a miracle that someone has entered into the kingdom of heaven. And then they can only pick on things that they don't like. That's what hypocrisy does to you. And for an outsider, it is so easy to notice it in someone. You notice it by the comments people make. So easy to see. Except if you do it yourself, then you have no idea. Because you think you make just a valid critical comment. Friends, we always have to examine ourselves very carefully. Because sooner or later we all seem to fall back into some sort of hypocrisy. Our faith, even a faith that once changed our life, so easily turns into religion. We still say the things we are supposed to say, and we do the things we are supposed to do, but our heart is not really in it. And what we have to do then is repent straight away. See, you can fool people for a while with your hypocrisy. You can fool yourself with your own hypocrisy. You can't fool Jesus with it, never. For he knows your heart. He knows if you have hardened your heart in order to suit yourself and what you can get out of life. Because that's what we are still inclined to do. That even if we know Jesus Christ and his kingdom, that we become once more self-centered again. It's about us and how wonderful life is here and all the things we have. And on top of that, we'll go to heaven too. In such a heart, there is no servant mentality at all. Just watch out. In our story, Jesus straight away sees through their hypocrisy. See, hypocrisy is pretense. With their question, they pretend to be concerned about the well-being of the disciples. But they intend to criticize Jesus. And that's why he says, you people fall under Isaiah's judgment. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So what Jesus is saying here, if your heart was really with the Lord, you would never have asked such a question. Instead, you would have marveled about the wonderful gifts of the kingdom. You would have wondered why so many of God's blessings had come to Israel. You would have asked genuine questions to know more. But since you are blind for the Lord's work, you can only criticize what I and my disciples are doing. You don't even realize how obvious it is. It's good to listen a bit to the context of Isaiah's prophecy that Jesus quotes here. We've read it this morning. In that day, the deaf will hear. That's the last bit of that scripture we read. In that day, the deaf will hear, the eyes of the blind will see, once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord, and the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Now, can you see that Jesus' presence has that very effect? Deaf hear, blind people see, the humble rejoice. Friends, let's join the humble and rejoice with them. God's doing great things among his people. That's all fulfillment of old prophecies. Let's rejoice together in the continuing work of the Lord also today. But if your heart is not really with the Lord, you can't even see what great things God is doing around you. All you may notice somewhere is that people move away from traditions that you appreciate. See, an unconverted heart always expresses itself with poor things to say. And even the good things you say are no more than lip service. For someone who loves the Lord with all his heart and can rejoice about every sinner who repents and comes to faith, there's no harder thing than to talk with people of whom you sense that they are only into traditions of men. They can talk about great preachers and teachers and all that's going on in the church. They even know their Bible and can quote texts from all places. And yet you sense a coldness towards Jesus and the simple gospel of salvation through him. And the joy that brings to people from all walks of life. I find, if I meet people like that, I find it very disconcerting and find it very hard to handle. For you would love to share Christ in a more real way. Now don't think that such people are only found outside our church. They can just as well be among us. It may be you who is in that position. You may come to church and do all the right things, and yet in your heart you think worldly. You're only busy with yourself and your little kingdom, and you have no taste for serving others. You pretend obedience and love for the Lord, but in actual fact, you're still blind and deaf. And then Isaiah's prophecy, unfortunately, is also true about you. Verse 11, for you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. You listen to sermon after sermon, and the sermon in itself may be as clear as a bell. But to you, it's nothing but words sealed in a scroll. I can give it in a book to you and say, well, read this, please. But it won't help, because the book's message is somehow hidden from you. And then you give it back, and you say, well, that was a nice book, but actually I didn't get a lot of out of it. But the problem was not in the book. Not what the book had to say. The problem is the one who reads the book. You don't know how to read. You don't pick up the message. You don't have an ear for it. Well, that was the situation of the teachers of the law in Jesus' time. They had a book, the whole Old Testament, God's own word, but they couldn't read it. They couldn't come to understanding. And the problem was not a difficulty of the book. The problem was in their heart. And they used the law, the word of God, to criticize others instead of humbling themselves under that word. They sought security in their own keeping of the law, but they forgot the purpose of the law, that it was given to us, to them, to this world, to make us humble, to make us discover our own sinfulness, to make us see our need for God's grace and God's mercy towards us. See, it's easy to turn around God's word into a religious manual and believe that obedience to the rules would make you acceptable to God. But that, friends, is just worshipping the Lord in vain. The point of the Bible is that God seeks people who realize their sinfulness and turn to him asking for mercy. And that's what Jesus was preaching. And in his time, the most open ears he found among tax collectors and prostitutes. Now, can you understand why they could see the kingdom while the Pharisees missed it? See, a prostitute, I assume, is not so confident that she is doing the right thing in God's eyes. She's quite aware that she is bound somehow. And that made her open for Jesus' message. In him, she met the first man in her life who spoke to her with a real love in his eyes and in his heart. And her heart responded to that. The tax collectors are a sign. They were not accepted by the people. Everyone despised them, and they might even despise themselves because of their job. But yet, Jesus did not condemn them. He spoke to their heart, and they opened their eyes and were saved. They could rejoice, as Isaiah says, with the humble. But the arrogant teachers remained blind, and they believed that their criticism was valid. And they had centuries of tradition behind them to prove that, but they missed out on the gospel, the good news of salvation. They couldn't see the kingdom Jesus was bringing. So let it be a warning to all of us. Are you really sure that you have found the kingdom and entered into it? Or are you still stumbling in darkness, trying to find a way with your own little light? Don't try that way any longer. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind. See, the Holy Spirit is the key person whom has been given to us to open our eyes and ears so that we may hear and see whom Jesus is. He is your Savior. From him alone you can receive new life. And after you've been given new life, you must grow in him by bringing every part of your life under his authority. And then you will certainly be blessed. Your doubts make place for blessed assurance. For you know in your heart the Lord knows you and loves you and delights in you. He protects you and will bring you to your eternal destination. So humble yourself and start rejoicing in him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the consistency of it. We read this morning Isaiah's prophecy about the danger of worshipping you in vain, worshipping you with our lips, but keeping our hearts from you. And 800 years later, Jesus encountered the same problem among the people. Lots of people keeping their hearts away from God, worshipping him in vain. And today, it is no different. It is so easy to worship you, to say all the right things, to do all the right things, and yet to keep our hearts from you. Lord, we pray that none of us will do that, that we turn with our heart to you, that we open up ourselves to you and said, Lord, here I am. You know me. You know my heart. And I know you have given your life for me to pay for my sins. Lord, I acknowledge them and I pray that you would cover all my sins with your blood so that I may become free and may rejoice in what you've made available for those who humble themselves under you. So Lord, keep all spiritual pride far from us and teach us to be humble people who are looking up at you and say, Lord, it's only you who can give these things to me, to my family, to my brothers and sisters, to my church, to this world, to the city. Lord, we pray that you would continue to open hearts of people so that they may accept the gospel of salvation with great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.